All right, thank you, Pastor. It's a real joy to be saved.
Amen.
Hear those songs we just heard about mercy and grace. I don't think any of us can ever thank the Lord enough for all of the blessings that He has poured upon our lives from time to time. Now, I'm not expecting a call. I left my watch in the room, so I want to be able to tell time, okay? And the first week, I think, of February, Dr. Ellis had contacted me earlier and asked me if I would preach in their mission training school, and you were there too. And so Brother Wayne Cofield was bringing a message on the pastor's home. And so he read off some things. And as soon as he had done that, I went to him and said, I want a copy of that. And here it goes. He didn't like the casserole, and he didn't like my cake. He said my biscuits were too hard, not like his mother used to make. I didn't make the coffee right. He didn't like the stew. I didn't mend his socks the way his mother used to do. I pondered for an answer. I was looking for a clue. Then I smacked him upside his head like his mother used to do. So I thought, I got to have that. Amen. That's pretty good, isn't it? Amen. Now, Dr. Goolsby would have said, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So I would add to that and say, God's people ought to laugh every chance they get. Because we know we're going to cry enough. I was reading in one of W.A. Criswell's volume. I have a 5-set volume on the book of the Revelation that he preached in his church. And in one of those works, I can't remember which one, he said, until we get to heaven and God takes his big handkerchief and wipes all the tears from our eyes, we are going to cry. But there's a day coming. There'll be no tears there. No sorrow, no pain, no suffering. Amen. So I want you to look with me, please, for a little while in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. While you're turning there, I want to say something about your pastor, how much I love him and appreciate him, and then how much I appreciate his allowing God to do through him what he is doing. And what blessed me even beyond that is several young men I talked to this morning along that line of Brother Gravely. And when I said something in his behalf, their faces just lit up. And you could tell they were in full agreement with it. So not only is Bible Baptist Church blessed, but Pastor Ricky Gravely is blessed to have those young men that are holding his hands up and helping him and working as you're doing, and may the Lord bless you. I suppose every preacher here has either preached this text, or I'm sure you have referred to it again and again. But this is what's lodged in my heart, and I want to do my best to give you what the Lord has shown me through the years. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll begin reading at verse 1. Paul writes, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. In other words, this is not going to help me, nor is it going to help the cause of Christ for me to glory in what I have been through, and God has blessed me in it. Then he said, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Look at verse 9. And he said unto me, let me drop this before I go any further. Paul was a saved man. Paul was a selected man. God had ordained, of course, from the foundation of the world, Paul to be a messenger to the Gentiles, as he told the prophet there in Acts, as he was to go and lay his hands upon him, and he did. And then Paul was a separated man. He wrote to the churches, especially to his second epistle to the church at Corinth, of how that they were to be separated from the world. And Paul also was a spiritual man. Amen. He said, I think I have the Spirit of God. So Paul was a spiritual man. Would you take all of that, in which many people in this assembly are? He also was a suffering man. And all the ailments that God may send our way, the affliction, the adversity that we sometimes may want to get away from, is that which causes us to go to the Lord in prayer and seek his face and ask him to help us in the dilemma we find ourselves in, or the adversity that we are facing. And God wants us to do that so that we might trust him more and believe that he will be able to help us. And not only that, God has storehouses of strength that he wants to give us, as we find here in the rest of this verse. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, or my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul is saying here that the Lord's presence and the Lord's provision of all that I need weighs far more than the pain that I suffer. Will you please pray with me and for me? Father, I thank you so much for the privilege we have to be in this service tonight. Thank you for all the good singing. Thank you, Lord, for how my heart rejoiced in the themes of the songs thus far, and how, Lord, we can relate to the great truths that we hear as we go back down memory lane in our mind and think of where we were. And oh God, what we would be today had you not reached down. Yes. When we had no desire to reach up to where we were. And God, that you lifted us up and blessed us. We thank you so much for what you mean to us. Now help us tonight, Lord. We surely stand in need of your divine touch. We pray to have it, that we might honor you and edify this listening body. If you'll notice here in the beginning of our reading, verse 2, Paul uses the phrase of 14 years ago. So what he's talking about here is not a new event that's come into his life, what he's going through at this time. Paul had three problems that's spelled out for us here in this passage. Number one, he had physical suffering. Paul knew what it was to suffer in the body. The closing verses here of chapter 11 says that he received 40 stripes save one at least five times. And all the other suffering that Paul did. And so we read here that he speaks of a thorn in the flesh. And to me, that means untold pain. I don't know what that is. A lot of times we think about a thorn, but I assure you that very few of us know anything about what Paul is talking about here in that thorn that was given unto him. In fact, some of the expositors that I've read behind seems to think more that it's like a stake than it is a thorn. Even though, as we are aware of, that crown of thorns that was placed upon our Lord's head came from that area that Paul is familiar with, and we were far greater and caused a lot more damage when they penetrated the skin than the ones that you and I are familiar with here. Now, can you imagine the hurt that Satan can put on a body when God gives him the privilege to do so? We read a little bit about that in the story of Job, what that poor man suffered at the hands of Satan. But one that's true to God, Satan is going to make it more difficult for him. Can you imagine the devil turn loose on Paul? Notice what he says here. He talks about this thorn, a messenger of Satan, to buffet him. And that means literally to strike with a fist, or it means to treat violently. So he knew something about suffering in the flesh. And then not only is there physical suffering, but there was mental suffering as well. For he said it was a messenger of Satan. To me, I wrote out in the margin of my notes, unending pressure. Sometimes it just doesn't seem to let up.
That's right.
And I learned a long time ago, Pastor, not to say what can happen next.
Amen.
Because I found out it can be a whole lot worse in every situation that you and I might go through. You see, many times when we're down physically, Satan comes to trouble the mind. And he wants to turn you against everybody that he possibly can by accusing others. It may be a family member, it may be one of the medical team, for being responsible partially for what you are going through. Remember that. I won't say something about it in a minute. But I know something about suffering. My wife has had 12 operations. She has a little situation now she's working on, and hope that can be fixed real soon. And so even though I may not have had that much sickness in my life, I do know what sickness is. And I know the state of mind that a person can find themselves in if they're not very careful. Now, here he comes. If God was good, he would not let this happen to you. And that's one of his big, I guess, tricks, or one of his big weapons that he aims at the people of God. But no one has ever told us that we would have a carefree life live for Christ, that we would not have to suffer and go through difficult things. We must remember that Satan is a liar and he's the father of every lie. Jesus Christ made those words himself in John chapter 8, verse 44. But then not only physical suffering and mental suffering, but spiritual suffering. Three times Paul went before the Lord and asked God to take that thorn away. So I wrote out unanswered prayer. And that is so destructive in our way of thinking. Because we, just as sure as we think God isn't listening to me, somebody will stand up and testify of how God answers prayer. And I know he answers prayer, and you know he answers prayer. But I would be a liar if I told you God answered every prayer I prayed the way I prayed it. And by the way, no is an answer. And not now, but wait a while is an answer. God does hear prayer and God does answer prayer. I guess what I'm saying is God does not always give us what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. And I don't understand God. I don't know why. But he has a purpose in everything that he does. I want to say something about that more so in just a minute. Now here is Paul. And how many people Paul has healed. And if Eutychus may have been dead, we don't know. Some believe he was dead. Some believes he was not dead. But Paul went down and said his life was still in him. And so I don't know if Paul raised him from the dead or not. But Paul healed a lot of people, but he can't heal himself here. Paul delivered a lot of people from bondage, but he could not deliver himself. And so don't let Satan get on your back and trouble you. God is still on his throne. He hasn't lost any power. And just because God does not give us what we want does not mean he does not have our best interest in mind. It would be best for me to quit, walk out those doors. I'm too old to get a job, so I don't know what I'd do then. I guess go lay on the couch. Than to think that God makes mistakes in the way that he treats his children and lets those things happen to him. Let's look a few minutes at this matter of the thorn. First of all, I want us to see the reality of the thorn. Paul says here in verse 7, that was given to me a thorn. This is not something Paul did. He did not do wrong, and God chastening here. This is something that was given to him. You remember when David was fleeing Jerusalem, and Absalom had come in and got on the throne and had men with him and committed sin with David's wives and concubines, if you remember. And David had gone off and some with him and flee to the wilderness to get away from him because he knew what Absalom would do if he had the chance. And then as he's going, there's a fellow named Shimei comes out of the house of Saul and accuses David of being a bloody man and goes on and calls him a man of Belial. Yeah. Now in it today, you look up the word Belial and it'll say baithless or worthless. In other words, it's just somebody that's not of any account to anyone. But in those days, it meant the devil. And so he is calling him here a child of the devil. And you remember, he even throwed stones at David. And Abishai, who was a very able man, I said, let me go over and cut this dead dog's head off. And Abishai was the man that could do it. There were no problem there. But you remember what David said? David said, no, let him alone. Let him curse. He even said, God has bidden him to curse me. And maybe God will look on his cursing me, amen, and have mercy on me for what he's doing against me. Oh my, it's nature. This thorn is not revealed. God knew the need for it. And anything that comes into my and your life, God knows there's a need for it. Right. No, I don't understand. I look forward 4 or 5 years ago of being at this meeting as far as I know, ever since I started, I've been, except one time I had the flu. And couldn't come. And I laid there in that chair, and I was just wondering, why can't I go to that meeting? Lord, you know I wanted to go real bad. Yeah. And you know, it's amazing how we inform him of what we're thinking and what we want and what we need and what's best for us. It's amazing, isn't it? But I was reading in Spyro Zodiotti's work, A Behavior of Belief. It is an exposition of the Epistle of James. And he tells in that exposition of a little boy that was born into the family. And when the little boy was born, his feet were crooked. And so they didn't have the means that they have now in braces. We had a daughter, her feet were turned out like that. And so but they've got braces that you can put on little babies, and so her feet are straight and right now, but they didn't have those things then. And so said this daddy just couldn't bear the thought of his little boy growing up and not being able to run and jump and play like the other little boys. And so he began to think about what he could do about it, and said he made a pair of wooden shoes, and he devised them so that they could be adjusted. And he put them on that little boy's feet, just a little baby. And when he tightened them up, that little baby began to cry. And I can't imagine how that father must have felt when he was causing pain to this little boy. And then later on, when the little boy could talk, and he would cry out, "Daddy, you're hurting me." And Daddy was hurting him. Yeah. But he knew the final result of that. And maybe sometime God hurts us. He doesn't take any glory in hurting us and allowing us to be hurt. But he knows he's accomplishing something by that. And finally, that the last adjustment was made. And that little boy could run and jump just like the rest of them did. God has something in mind for each one of us. Amen. And I just wonder how much it reminds me, preacher, of the sculptor who was chipping away at a large piece of stone. And a passerby came and said, "My, why all this waste?" And the sculptor said, "Sir, this is not waste." He said, I have an image in my mind. And he said, "Everything that doesn't fit that image, I'm cutting it away." God has an image in mind of every one of us that's in here. No, we don't understand, but God knows what he's doing. It hurts to say that, but it's the truth. Notice the resource of the thorn. I'm still reaching for my glasses, preacher, and I don't have them. Okay, to adjust a little bit here. The messenger of Satan, that's the thorn. God allowed Satan to vent his hatred against Paul, to afflict him, to annoy him, to abase him. Satan hated Paul, and he hates every person who has a love for Jesus Christ. Then that's the resource of it. That's where it came from. Now the reason for this thorn, Paul said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure." Let me say again, it's not because Paul has done something wrong, but everyone, here's something too, I think we might should take a little joy in. God can't trust everybody to suffer. Some would turn on him if they had to go through what others go through.
That's right.
God knows. God knows what he's doing in our life. God knew Job could. He even boasted, if that's a good word, God boasting to the devil that he couldn't turn Job against him. And Satan tried with all, he was given free rein except two things on both trials.
Yep.
Two things. One, save his life.
Yes, sir.
And so he poured everything he had But he never turned Job against God.
Amen.
Job may have questioned some things. Now, I've heard preachers say it's wrong and a sin to question God, but listen, my God, my God.
That's right.
Why hast thou forsaken me?
That's right.
Now, I know that was man, but I remind you it's perfect man. That was crying out to God, why have you left me?
Yes.
Amen. Why have you left me? Now here's the request to remove the thorn. Paul said, this thing I besought. And this is a rather a weighty word here, besought. It means to beg earnestly. And there is a sense of urgency put in this prayer that he is praying. This is a natural reaction to the thorn. Lord, remove it. That's what I would want.
Yes.
You may pray differently than I would, but I would want it out. I remember once I got a thorn in my little face. Oh, I still remember where it was. I remember how it felt, too.
Yeah.
This was just a little thing. My wife and I were out behind the house because of bushes had grown up almost against the parsonage that we moved into when I went to Harriman. So we were out grubbing. Anybody know what that is? And so in the process of that, I got a little thorn right in here. That my finger swelled up about that big. So I went to the doctor. And he looked at that. And he said, you know, he said, I don't think we ought to lance that. I said, I agree wholeheartedly. So he prescribed some ointment to soak it in and to keep it in. And I don't know, that was maybe 2 weeks. And finally, my finger went down and it got so soft that I could work around. And I saw a little black speck down in there. I mean, about the size of a piece of pepper that would come out of a pepper shake. Down, way down in there. And I finally worked that thing out. And my finger got well. And that was a little bitty thing.
Yeah.
And then I've thought about when we were building our fellowship hall at the church. I worked with the men. So I was there sanding on something one day. And as I did, a piece of plywood and a splinter went up under my fingernail.
Yeah.
And broke off. And so there was no way we could get a hold of it. We tried, so it was hurting bad. I've not had much pain, so it don't take a whole lot to make me know I'm hurting. So anyway, we took off to the doctor's office. Then you could just go to doctor. Now it's $1,000 to the emergency room.
Yep.
If this is emergency, please hang up and dial 111. But then you could just go to the doctor's office. So I, middle of the day, I went to the doctor's office and he looked at that and he said, that's got to come. And by that time, my elbow was throbbing. I guess the poison off of that wood or whatever it was. So anyway, he said, I'm going to have to, said, I don't think you can stand me pulling that out. And I didn't think I could stand a whole lot more pain. I said, I agree. So he said, I'm going to give you a shot in the end of the finger. So he stuck a needle in there, and so help me, the needle broke off. And he said, well, said, I hope I got enough in there to numb it till I can pull it out. I said, I do too, Doc, if you don't put another one in there. But anyway, we finally got it out, and he was well. But I know a little bit, but I don't know anything. What Paul was talking
right.
about here,
that's
Satan
right.
himself being that thorn, causing all that problem in him. Lord, make me well, we pray. Lord, make them well. Lord, give me that promotion if I just had that. Lord, please change this situation. If only I were stronger in body, if my mate was surrendered to Christ. I'm sure you know this, but I was listening to a preacher one day and he was talking about John Wesley. And he said that John Wesley's wife just hammered him so much fussing and quarreling about him. He would go off to a meeting, and when he would come back, she would quarrel and fuss and said most people who knew her didn't even think she was saved. And I was telling someone that, and he said, I was reading about his life and said sometimes when he was bowed in prayer that his wife would pour hot water on him. I don't know if any of that's true or not. I'm just telling you what I read. But I do know this. I know where some preachers are tonight that could have really done something for God if their wife had stood with them and supported them in their ministry. So I want to say something to all you young preacher men here. You, when looking for a wife, you better forget about finding the best looking one. Now, she may come along, she does grab her. Or looking for the wisest woman. You better find a woman that has a heart for the Lord and is more submitted to the Lord than she will be to you. If you find a woman like that, you can do something for the Lord. And if you don't, you may end up like some of these others I know. And isn't this how we pray? Lord, make the problem vanish. Lord, remove the person. Sometimes I think we need to pray this. Lord, help me to live with what you've allowed to come into my life. Help me to live with that. You see, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, we read that we are peculiar people. And even though we are odd and strange, that's not the meaning of that word.
That's right.
That's a composite word. It's made up of two words. One means to encircle, and the other means to encompass within. Yes. And so what Peter is saying is this, that around the life of every one of God's children is a big circle. And you're in that circle. And nothing can enter that circle to touch your life unless God permits it to. So that may help us all to realize a little bit more the importance of trying to honor God as we live and as we go. Could it be that we are so busy telling God what he should do in our situation that we cannot hear what he has to say through us, through our difficulty? Many times we look back and say, what a wonderful day when God saved me. And I say, hallelujah. I love to hear it from every one of God's children. What a wonderful experience the Lord and I had together. I love to hear that. It's real. Amen. I've had it just like you have. I've never heard anyone say, what a wonderful day when the Lord gave me a thorn. I don't think I would say that, do you? I don't think I would. But in a sense here, Paul is saying that when you read on down of what happened here because of this thorn. We'll look at that in just a minute. We may suffer broken relationship. We may suffer broken promises. We may suffer broken expectations. But we do not have to suffer broken lives. A thorn can better us or it can break us. It all depends on our attitude toward this thorn. And I'm sure that there are people in this assembly tonight that know something about a thorn.
Yes, sir.
There's a situation you cannot help. The medical profession cannot help it. And the best advice and counsel from the finest preacher alive cannot help it. There's just some things we've got to go through.
That's right.
And they're not easy. They hurt. I'm hurting now. I said a little to the pastor this morning about it. My heart is breaking. I'm suffering. I am hurting. I cannot change it. God help me to live.
Yes.
And honor you and never fault you for anything that comes my way.
Yes, sir.
Then here is the refusal to remove the thorn. Paul said, or God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient. In other words, I'm not going to take that thorn away, Paul, but I'm going to give you grace that you can live with it. See, God would make his grace available unto him. Victory was not in the removal of the thorn, but the resource of grace. Paul, in these words here that